This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the special edition of the Strang Report podcast. You know, this is November 2021, and do you know what November is? It's No Shave November. I'm sure everybody is celebrating. Well, today I have the privilege of interviewing Harold Cronk, who you probably know is the director of God's Not Dead, and he has written a delightful little book called The Beard Ballad. It's something that fathers should read to their sons. We're going to have an interesting conversation with an interesting man. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone. And Harold, thank you for taking time from your schedule. You are so busy doing all these movies. I have your resume here. It'd take up the whole podcast if I read it. You've done all these important things. How did you have time to write this cute little book? I've got it here in front of me. It's too bad that this is audio only, but it's an illustrated book. You got Phil Robertson to write the foreword. What made you get into books about beards?
Well, I have to give the credit to my now 7-year-old son. About 2 years ago, I picked him up one day after school, and it was in the fall. It was in November, and I gave him a hug and rubbed my cheek on his, and he says, "Daddy, your face is all pokey and rough." And I said, "Those are my ferocious facial follicles. And I was like, "Huh." And the next day, I do my devotionals and my daily writing at a local coffee shop. And I walked in the coffee shop that morning and I was thinking, you know, there aren't a lot of books out there, storybooks for fathers to read to their sons at night. And it's such an important thing for fathers to read to their sons and to spend time with them. And I thought, gosh, there was something to that magical moment with Harry that morning. And I tell you, Steve, the story just poured out of me. And I wrote for 5 hours and the book was done. And I spent the next several months refining the book and refining the rhymes and making sure that it had the right message that I wanted about the importance of fathers spending time with their sons. And it had to be fun and exciting and it had to be manly and burly. And I put it in a drawer, as you're supposed to do for a while to let yourself get some fresh eyes. And I came back to it about 6 months later and I said, you know what? I think this is good. So I sent it to some friends. You know, you have the trusted 10 people that you send your work to, and they came back and they're like, man, you need to publish this thing. It's important, not only just as a piece of literature, but as a statement about how important it is for boys to be proud of being a man and to enjoy manly things and having role models. So that's what I did.
Well, I think it's brilliant. I mean, the artwork is great. Illustrations by C.S. Fritz. The poetry, I think, is great. And, you know, it's interesting that you talk about, this moment with your son and rubbing his face. I remember that when I was a kid, in our family, we called it a whisker rub. And we didn't like it because it hurt a little bit.
Yes.
And sometimes Dad would grab us and, you know, and he didn't have a beard. It would have been, you know, what do you call it, a 5 o'clock shadow or something.
Right.
But there is something kind of a rite of passage. And, you know, I don't know if I should. Let me read the first couple lines. It says,
sure.
My mom said, "Jack, did you forget to shave?" Clearly confused by the look that she gave. He said, "No, dear, it's the 1st of November, a month without shaving. Don't you remember?" And it kind of goes on at this tenor. Should I tell the little surprise about the little boy, or do they have to
sure.
buy the book to find out?
Oh, I think let the audience know. It's a fun little story. So
well, you know, the little boy, it's a cartoon, of course, but he looks like he's maybe, 6 or 7 years old. And so his dad quit shaving, and they go out and chop wood. And then the little boy chops wood, and apparently the chopping wood makes beards grow, and this little kid has this long blonde beard. You know, it's kind of funny to see a little seven-year-old boy, but, you know, it's all fantasy. And the dad's beard is long, long, long. If I didn't shave in November, you'd barely be able to see it, let alone it being so long. So, I mean, you just had fun with this, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I have a art education background. I was a high school art teacher before doing the film thing. So I did a bunch of the illustrations myself. And then I started to realize that if I try to write and illustrate and color this entire thing by myself, it's never going to get done. And, you know, a piece of providence, I found Casey Fritz, and he is an incredible, incredible illustrator. And we connected right away. I sent him all of my drawings, and we went back and forth, and he really produced some wonderful artwork that really brought this imaginative false story to life. And, you know, growing up, I was inspired by Maurice Sendak. You know, Maurice Sendak is an incredible artist, and Dr. Seuss, you know, so it has definitely has that wonderful, fantastical element to it.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's just so special. The idea of, you know, a dad reading it to a son. Now, my sons are both grown, of course, but I have a 12-year-old grandson. And who knows? I may read this to him when I see him next time. But, you know, we haven't really talked about it, but there's so much gender confusion nowadays. You know, there are some people who say that a seven-year-old boy needs to have time to decide if he's a boy or a girl. What in the world is going on in our culture? And was that a motive to kind of address this issue in a kind of a humorous way? Or, you know, what's going on?
I think for me, it's more about me spending time with my son and making sure that my son knows the things that my father taught me. Unfortunately, I lost my father to Alzheimer's about 2 years ago. And so many of the things that I learned from my dad growing up, you forget them, you know, but just watching my dad, how he handled himself. He was such a good man, and he tried to make great decisions. He was a public school administrator. He made great decisions for kids and helping them figure out who they were in their lives and letting them grow naturally in their faith and through their talents and making sure that they had great opportunities. But also, my dad was a great role model for me. And so I just wanted to make sure that I'm trying to be that for my son. And look, we all mess up. We all stumble. Nobody's perfect, as cancel culture is teaching everyone these days. We all have our missteps, but you know, we just got to keep marching forward and trying to do the best we can and being men of God and men of knowing that there's grace for us and showing our young men that are growing up. They're going to make mistakes. And boy, if we show them that it's impossible to make a mistake in this world, and then you're going to be canceled, then we're doomed. You know, we need to operate in grace and love, not in hate and fear.
Boy, I agree with that. And what are you hoping that people, you know, you're talking about your own son and that's important, but what are you hoping that people around America get out of this? What's the end game here?
Well, my goal was to create a story that dads can tell to their sons in the evening. They can read to their sons in the evenings. You know, that's one of our major problems is we need fathers to spend time with their sons. And they're going to glean so much for that time. It's so important to help that young man grow into a man, that you're there for them when they ask questions, when they have difficult questions. And if you don't have a relationship with them that's been built by chopping wood or growing beards or whatever it is that you spend time with your son doing, if you don't have a relationship with them, they're not going to come to you when they have real hard questions or difficult questions. You need to have that level of trust. And they need to be secure in themselves as a young man to come to you as an older man and say, hey, Dad, I'm confused about something. I'm hearing all this stuff. What do you think? Tell me what you believe or tell me what your thoughts are. And so that you can guide your son toward what our belief systems are, what your belief systems are, so that we're taking care of the future generation rather than throwing it to the wolves.
Boy, that's so well said. And tell my listeners how they can get this book.
Sure. Our wonderful friends at the Duck Dynasty family, Phil and the family, I guess, is promoting the book on their social media where it can be found. So you can look those guys up. And Phil, I'm so thankful that Phil wrote the foreword for this book.
Yeah, tell me the story. How did you do that? Are you personal friends with him?
I have not met Phil, but Phil was a fan of God's Not Dead. And, of course, we had Corey and Willie in God's Not Dead 1. And then I worked with Sadie when I directed God's Not Dead 2. So we got the book to him, and I was told that Phil loved it and loved the idea of it. So he wrote this this beautiful foreword, and so I think it's gonna connect with people.
Boy, that is, and of course he's so well known, and his sons as well, for their beard. So it's got kind of a double meaning. And you know, you're mainly a filmmaker. What big projects are you working on now?
Well, I have a couple things I'm working on. I actually just wrapped up I directed all 8 episodes of a Disney Plus series called The Quest, which will be coming out, I believe, February or March. And I'm actually developing a Christmas movie right now.
Wow. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Christmas Carol. Carol with an E. The never-before-told story of Mrs. Claus.
Oh, that sounds intriguing. I guess it's for Christmas 2022.
We'll see. You never know with a film. It could be 10 years before I get this thing made.
Oh.
It's a wonderful little story, so I'm excited about it. We've had a lot of fun.
That's great. Well, you know, I first got to know you, or know of you, I should say, with God's Not Dead 1, which was just phenomenally successful. I mean, congratulations that it has impacted so many people, and now I think they're up to God's Not Dead 4, We the People,
yes,
which is excellent. If any of my listeners haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's really worth watching. But
That was directed by the editor of the first God's Not Dead. His name is Vance Null. Vance is a young up-and-coming director with great vision. And your audience, please go support that film and support Vance. We need to support filmmakers that aren't afraid to put their names on projects that have faith elements in them. It's important that we really get behind young filmmakers. So
that's exactly right. We need, you know, it seems like the other side support each other. You know, they don't all agree on everything, but they seem to support. And in fact, somebody said that the left, they don't like each other, but they'll work together. Christians like each other, but won't work together. Just funny how that works. But you're right, we do need to do it. But did you know that God's Not Dead would be so successful? Because it was a pretty low-budget film, at least when you started.
It really was. It was a shoestring budget. But, you know, it had a great message. I thought it was very important. And I'd say about halfway through the production, Michael Scott, the producer, and I were having a conversation, and I said, "Mike, I don't know how these things are happening," because we had a whole bunch of obstacles on set, and then just little miracles, little things that would happen. They're like, "Wow, well, that was more than convenience." You know, it really felt like the thing was anointed. So I talked to him about halfway through the production. I said, "Mike, I think we have something here that I think is going to make an impact. I think this thing is going to make a lot of noise." And it did. So God had a plan for it that was well beyond our meager means.
Amen about that. I mean, it just surprised everybody. But, you know, there are a lot of people, a lot of very sincere people, you know, in Christian circles, we would say even anointed, who long for that, but it sort of never happens. Why do you think this one seem to have such a huge impact when other, you know, very good projects seem to kind of fizzle?
Sure. I think it gave Christians a voice at that time. There was a lot of craziness going on in our country when that film came out in 2014. A lot of struggles economically, things were bad. And I think people have a tendency to turn toward their faith when they are in the midst of hard times. And unfortunately, I think that's where we were when that film came out. And of course, we'd love people to turn to their faith every day, not just on the bad days. But yeah, and I think people felt a little persecuted at that time. So when that film came out, I feel like it was as much a vote for their faith at the box office as it was a vote for the movie itself.
Interesting way to put it. Do you have any stories about that people told you about how it impacted their lives?
Boy, I have a couple doozies. it's been remarkable. The movie has had a profound impact on my life, and I can't deny that in the least. It's brought trials. It's brought bias. It's brought love. I'm just this kid from West Michigan, this kid that grew up in Scottville, Michigan, and I never expected to be thrust into that sort of a situation where, you know, I didn't have a hardcore church upbringing. I was faith adjacent for a lot of my young life, and for me to be, boy, I did not feel worthy to be at the helm of this, at that film, especially after it got the traction it did. But, you know, I would say there's been hundreds of people that have come to me and said, but that movie changed my life. Or I had a friend that actually turned to his faith because of that movie. And ironically, I had some, not ironically, I guess, but conversely, I had some significant attacks because of that film. That things that you just never expect to see coming, or things that happen or play out in a certain way that you didn't expect, and you know, a lot of hate. So it's important, you know, that if you're going to be in this world, that you put on the whole armor of God and you're ready for the battle that's coming. Because once you make some noise and raise that flag, you know, there are forces that will come after you.
Well, absolutely. And it probably wasn't to you personally as much as just people that oppose the gospel and what you were promoting and what you represent. So, you know, bravo for standing strong. And, you know, really Jesus said that persecution would come, and it comes in different ways. Persecution in the West, especially in America, is a little different than it is in some parts of the world where people are actually imprisoned for their faith. But, you know, during COVID, churches were fined and shut down, and all kinds of things happened, even in America, that we never would have expected. And we could talk about this for a long time because, you know, there's just so many different aspects. But let's circle back around to the Beard Ballad. Are people able to get it on Amazon.com and those kinds of platforms, or just through the Robertson's social media platform?
So through Robertson's and our website right now, which is beardballad.com. But I believe in about 2 weeks, it will populate on Amazon.
Well, I may wait and run this podcast then, although this is No Shave November, and this is my way to celebrate No Shave November by devoting a podcast to it. So thank you. You solved a problem for me. I was having to go up and down and look for people with beards and say, can I do a podcast with you? But I think this is great what you're doing. And I just admire that you had an idea. You wrote it in that coffee shop. You followed through. You know, being a publisher, I know there's a lot of work that goes into a book, even a smallish book like this. Of course, you had illustrations, which, you know, most of the books that we publish are words only. But, you know, I'm just so proud of the job you did. And when our mutual friend Troy Duhon sent it to me, he actually sent it to me FedEx, believe it or not. And
fantastic.
And he said, our country is having an identity crisis among the youth. We need more content like this between fathers and sons. Phil Robertson did a great job on the foreword. And he said, Harold has done close to 100 million at the box office and did an incredible job on this book. I think you should interview him about the identity crisis and how fathers need to step up. And I just appreciate having friends like Troy who are looking out for me, and I'm just so glad that he connected us, and I hope that this book will be a lot of my listeners will take advantage of this and share this with fathers and sons. So as we wrap up this short podcast, I'll give you the last word.
Oh, I just want to say thank you for the time to spread the word about the book. I'm super excited about it. I'm proud of it. And I'm so thankful that people like Troy and Phil got behind this book and helped me bring it to life. And Casey, my illustrator, Chip Sinclair, my editor. And I think it's something that's a great gift. And look, there's not a lot out there for fathers to read to their sons. That's not the foo-foo bunny chasing the squirrel. Like, we need stuff that's actually manly, where they can feel it's okay to be a man. And for dads to spend time with their kids reading and hopefully chopping wood and growing beards.
Well said. And it's just been a delight to connect with you. I just so admire, I've been an admirer of yours, and find out we have a few things in common besides Troy. And thank you for taking time to be on my podcast. I hope that my listeners enjoyed it. Tune in again tomorrow for another episode of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.